Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels. Our guest this episode, we have Doug Burns from Northern Iowa. We've had him on before. He's a longtime fishing guide, the Iowa Guide Service, and he's got some great tournament experience in the past. We learned all about him last time we had him on, which unfortunately was kind of a long time ago. I really enjoyed Doug's time, and I get a lot, can learn a lot from Doug. He's very articulate, great experienced angler. So I'm glad to have him back on. This interview is loaded with a great information. It's an open water fishing conversation, which we're kind of transitioning out of ice season. I know a lot of places in the upper Midwest, it definitely, if you get up into Canada, there's a lot of ice season left, don't get me wrong, but these conversations around open water are definitely hitting right now, so we're jumping into it that way. Doug's down in Iowa, there's a lot of open water already down in Iowa. Doug even had his boat out recently, which is crazy, but that being said, open water, spring fishing, a year like this where, you know, definitely in the southern portion of the Midwest, we're already experiencing this spring early, or at least an early ice out. The northern tier, you know, the upper Midwest, we still got a lot of ice, but the projection is that we could still have an early spring. So that's what this conversation addresses. Opportunities this year, or, you know, on a year that's projected like this with an early ice out, what are going to be some cool opportunities that we don't always get? Opportunities that we don't always get when it's a normal year or even a late ice out year. Doug definitely identifies some of these great spring opportunities when we have these early ice outs. And I think that's really fun to highlight these opportunities. We also talk a lot about strategy. Doug's got great, great advice. I get a lot from it. And you know what? One of the main messages here in this conversation that I think is so crucial is, you know, in the spring, many of us are probably still a little bit rusty. It takes us a few outings to really, to really knock the rust off, to really, you know, kind of get in our open water groove. And, you know, it's not just about where you can go on the good days and throw a jig and a minnow all day long and catch fish. You know, Doug definitely addresses the value in being a versatile angler, even in the spring, being versatile, being a little bit more thoughtful and open-minded. Not all the fish are 100% on the same program on a year like this, where you have a reasonably early ice out. It's pre-spawn. Fish are going to be spread out. Fish are going to be doing different things. You can still find fish, you know, in basin areas. You're going to find fish in shallow areas, but spring isn't always just about throwing a jig and a minnow up on a 7-foot sand flat. There's definitely more to it. Doug does a great job addressing it, and I felt very motivated, very excited for spring open water fishing after this conversation with Doug. So let's get to it. Doug Burns, spring cold water fishing, walleyes. Let's do it. This episode of the JMO Podcast is brought to you by Shields. Shields is a one-stop shop retailer with all your outdoor needs covered. Shields has all the top brands on inventory in every department and a knowledgeable staff known for great service. With over 30 locations across the country, you can find the nearest store by going online to shields.com. If you can't get to a store, rest assured all their best deals are online as well. So once again, head to shields.com for more detailed information. That link is in the description of this podcast. This episode of the JMO Podcast is brought to you by the CS1 suit from Cold Snap. This jacket and bib combination is good for all seasons. The jacket featuring the full event lamination, 100% waterproof shell with waterproof YKK zippers, fleece-lined hand-worn pockets on the chest, magnetic closures on the pockets, hideaway D-rings for accessories, especially like your Cold Snap toothpick. Zip out the inner liner featuring Primaloft 900 gold insulation, HydroFloat technology. Wear this Cold Snap logoed performance liner as a separate jacket on the ice, or you can just wear it around town as nice as it is. The bibs matching the jacket system. We're talking the lamination, the waterproof, the zippers, fleece lined, warming pockets on the chest, magnetic closures on all the high use pockets, and the hideaway D-rings for all your accessories. Again, zip out the inner liner pants featuring the Primaloft 900 gold insulation, HydroFloat technology, removable knee pads. You can take them out, replace them whenever they're worn, or just take them out when you're wearing it in the summer, because in the summer in the boat, you can wear this shell as your highest performance rain gear. Wear the entire system in the ice season or as layers and mix and match the components to fit whatever the weather conditions are. The gloves, cold snap performance gear, hoodies, event softshell jackets, and vests, all of that and more details can be found at coldsnapoutdoors.com. That link is in the description of this podcast or through other pro staff partners. This podcast is brought to you by Northland Fishing Tackle. Northland is a brand you can trust. Since the beginning, they've been creating innovative lure designs made of high-quality components. Most importantly, when you buy fishing tackle that says Northland on the package, you can rest assured it is designed for one thing and one thing only, and that is catching fish. To check out more of what they got, head to their website, northlandtackle.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. It's a long time coming, but having you back on, Doug, let's start right here. Give me a little bit of an update. You're down in that part of the world that is probably, you know, as far as like ice season goes, you're not taking any advantage of this warm winter. I'm sure the passionate ice anglers are having a tougher time. So we're going to talk a little bit more open water. But before we really get into that, man, what's the update? What have the conditions been like down there? Like, give me a little bit of a synopsis of, how this winter has gone.
Well, first of all, I'm not an ice fisherman at all.
Perfect.
But I have many friends that are, and they're crying in their beer, for lack of a better term. And our lakes here, actually, especially Lake Okoboji, get more pressure in the winter than they do in the summer because they don't have to deal with the recreational boat traffic. So we have more ice anglers than we do open water anglers, especially on the weekends. So it's I feel very sorry for the bait shops.
Yeah.
They had to take a beating this year. We had an ice season of approximately a month, the end of December to, well, let's go 6-7 weeks, because I did still see people out there here a few days ago, but I think they were completely crazy. So the ice got people. I feel bad for them, but not being ice angler, I'm ready to go. Our smaller lakes are mostly open already, and that's the first place I would start if I was looking for, say, walleye right now, is our smaller little pothole lakes. We have numerous of them in the area that are anywhere from 200 to 1,000 acres. They warm up quickly. The DNR stocks them. And I know in southern Minnesota, they have the same thing. Now, the season's not open up there. Up in the prairies, northern South Dakota, southern North Dakota, they have a lot of pothole lakes in those areas that are small little, what were duck ponds 30 years ago.
Yep.
But now they're small lakes. The ice goes off of those. Those fish are ready to eat. And you're going to look the same places that you found them last ice fishing. That's the first place I'm going to go look for those fish.
Now, when you say, talking about that short ice season, and, you know, I'm going to say that even like your area, there's other areas that could probably relate to that, where a lot of these lakes probably get, you know, a certain level of pressure in the winter time, you know, certainly talking like, you know, basin panfish and things like that, that will get, you know, there's just more participation, in specific scenarios on specific lakes, you know, where roads get plowed or whatever in the winter time. And, you know, maybe, you know, just from a, you know, just an angling perspective, you know, just kind of a big picture perspective, you know, in the short term, like you said, you know, it's tough for the industry, maybe some bait shops, you know, like they just don't see as much business on a winter like this. But, you know, is there a silver lining? Is there like a, maybe just like a little bit of side-eyed optimism for, you know, this spring open water season to get kicked off, where, you know, you're going to be on some of these lakes that haven't seen as much pressure, or just, you know, is there anything along that storyline for you where you just kind of, you know, I mean, we're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings that they didn't get out fishing or whatever, but just from an angling perspective, sometimes giving those lakes a rest, you know, Mother Nature kind of does that on purpose, and it might maybe, you know, maybe create a little bit of optimism. Is there anything like that for you?
Most definitely. Our here on the on our major lakes, Okoboji, Spirit Lake, we have two Okoboji East and West, and then Spirit Lake. They're the only lakes in the state that have a closed walleye season that closes February 15th and then opens up the first weekend of May. So it doesn't affect the walleye as much, but most of our ice anglers are looking more at bluegill and crappie. And we have people come here for our bluegill fishing from all over the upper Midwest because we have a very liberal limits of 25 a day and no possession limit. And we have big, big bluegills. Average fish last year in my guide boat was probably 8 1/4 to 8 1/2 inches, up to 10 inches. There were, I can't even guess, thousands and thousands and thousands of less bluegills taken out of here this year, this ice season, than there should have been or could have been. And the same with the crappie. We've had a big crappie explosion in the last 5 years on all of our lakes because the water's gotten clearer due to zebra mussels. We've had expanded weed growth. The weeds stay longer in the winter. The crappies have more places to successfully spawn, and the young of the year of the panfish have more places to hide, so more are reaching adulthood. So we've had a giant crappie explosion over the last 5 to 6 years. Less of those got taken out, so we're going to have a fantastic crappie open season, and that's going to happen across the Midwest everywhere because there's going to be a longer time, like in Minnesota, where seasons don't open, you know, and they're going to have a longer time period of that questionable ice where a few of the braver souls will still go, but the masses won't.
Right.
So, yes, you are definitely going to see more and better quality available this summer due to the shortened conditions than we have in a normal summer. And that excites me.
Oh yeah. I concur with that 100%. I can absolutely say that the years where for certain, you know, specific reasons on my home lake there, you know, if the ice wasn't good enough to drive vehicles out and the participation during ice season plummeted for at least the next 2 years, we experienced better fishing. And the first thing that we noticed was just a slight uptick in size of fish. So I think just less fish being kept and taken away. You know, just those fish had another season on them, and there was just more of them. You know, that size structure just took a little bit of an uptick. You know, whether it was, you know, just a, you know, if on average that lake usually produces like a bunch of 10, 11 inch crappies, we just saw a lot more 12 inchers, you know. And then I think fishing pressure is another thing too, where those fish just get to do what they want to do. They never have to listen to noise on the ice or whatever. They never get, you know, sort of driven into some of those other areas. And it just seemed like the fish had a predictability. Now that, again, no scientific evidence there, but I think that there's some optimism in that conversation because right now everybody's, like you said, a lot of the hardcores are just kind of crying in their beer right now. And you know what? We'll get over it. We'll get through it. Let's have a conversation like this where we realize what the silver lining is that we're going to have an elongated spring season and the fish are going to be ripe. So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of throw that in there.
Well, here's a little bit of the science behind it and why you notice it so much in panfish. They have a shorter lifespan. Okay. Panfish live 3 to 7 years, maybe, where walleye, pike, bass live 10 to 20 years. So if you can get a 3-year-old, 4-year-old panfish that is almost at its peak growth already, and you don't take it out of the system, it's going to continue to grow, but it was already a good size keeper. So you have so many more keepers and bigger fish, and it's compressed with the ones that are coming into that size limit, the 2.5 to 3-year-old fish. So you see it more in fish with a short lifespan, and you see the immediate results quicker.
Sure.
And so, yes, it makes great opportunities. I expect to see a lot of 9.5 to 10 inch bluegills and crappie 12 to 14 inches on a regular basis this spring. With your walleye and your pike. Now, one thing with this early spring, and this is a real opportunity for people, most of our pike generally spawn under the ice. So we don't get to see spawning pike. And that happens throughout the Midwest. With this early ice out, you're going to have an opportunity to get at those spawning pike from a boat and more chances to get to the places where they spawn, because they spawn in shallow, mucky bays and stuff that generally the ice is bad earlier there. So you can't get at them from the ice and you can't get at them from a boat. But this year with that early ice out, people are going to have a chance to get at some of those big spawning pike. Please be careful. Don't keep those big females. Let them get in there and lay their eggs. But by all means, you can go have some fun with them.
You know, you mentioned earlier the opportunities in those smaller lakes. I think that is a really fun conversation because it's very relatable. There's a lot of places throughout the Midwest, like everybody's got these like smaller pothole lakes, you know, within driving distance, like within 100 miles of them. There's just so many of them, and you know, they provide good fishing. And for a lot of people, they probably aren't a home body of water. They probably don't fish them the remainder of the open water season. They probably have, you know, a more capital or more marquee, you know, home body of water, like the big reservoirs or, you know, just bigger lakes. These smaller lakes, you know, are just, it's fun for me to talk about, you know, this spring when it's really a ripe opportunity to go get after them. So I'd love to kind of live in that. If you're comfortable talking about that, you know, I like hearing about walleyes, but I'll hear about anything. But, you know, talking about those smaller lakes down around you, talk to me a little bit about that. They're kind of that first good opportunity, like you mentioned, typically. What do you see going down this year for that particular opportunity? What does that look like? You get your boat out there. What's the fishing like? What are some of the things that you think about, you know, this time of year when you're approaching that?
Well, there's multiple advantages to the little lakes. First off, they are little, so you have less water to search. Okay. So you should, if you're not familiar if you're not familiar with Devil's Lake, well, you're in trouble.
Yeah. It's big. It's a big piece of water.
Right. If you're not familiar with, we'll say Lost Island Lake here in Iowa, it's, I think, 650 acres, somewhere right in there. You can see it all. It's all right there in front of you. All right. There's five little points and one island as opposed to 50,000 points. All right. The next advantage is they warm quickly. So the fish become active quicker and the bait gets up shallow. So you're going to, where on a bigger lake, you may hang on those deeper drop-offs and edges longer, where these shallower lakes, that water warms quickly, and that's where those fish are comfortable, and they're going to move right up there. The next advantage is wind. As we know, spring brings wind, and that's miserable to fish in. The bigger the body of the water, the more the wind creates trouble for you. So these small bodies, you're protected. You can get in and out. You can fish on these windier days. So all of those are advantages, but So look shallower earlier than you would think. Don't give up the offshore spots. Any hard bottom that you can find offshore, especially one of the first few days that you go off there, those spots are going to hold fish. Most of the potholes here and southern Minnesota and South Dakota are somewhat mucky, soft bottom, farm ground type lakes. So if you can find hard bottom in deeper water, that's going to hold a lot of the fish and sometimes some of your bigger fish, but mostly you're going to move shallow fairly early. I'm going to these little lakes at ice out and the first couple weeks afterwards, and I'm pitching jigs right up to the north shorelines where that sun's beating on it and it's warm. Okay. I like a little jigging grub, little twister tail. Hair jigs are very good, especially if you're looking for walleye. Then I might tip those hair jigs with a minnow. If I'm looking for crappie, bass, I'm fishing the hair jig straight without any trailer on it. But for walleye, I like to tip it with a minnow. Another bait that I'm throwing up there shallow is a small jerkbait. Number 8 shadow wrap or any small jerkbait that's not going to dive very much that I can keep right in place up there on those shallow edges where I'm in 1 or 2 foot of water. I don't want it to dive very far. And then I want to just snap it and pop it and let it sit there in front of their face. One of the issues we've seen over the last few years here, these small lakes used to be very dirty. They get a lot of runoff. Well, the combination of not much moisture over the last few years and zebra mussels getting into these lakes have made them much clearer. And that's compressed our bite window a little bit. So your early morning and your late evening have become more dominant, where it used to be more so the middle of the day where that sun could warm up that dirtier water. So I've had to change a little bit of when I fish them. So more in the daytime, I might stay a little more offshore because it's a little deeper water, and then I'm going to troll crankbaits. Usually a small stick bait early in the season that I can go 1 to 1.5 mile an hour. As the water warms, I'll move more toward shad style baits. And it depends on what the, a little bit what the forage is, but usually the forage in these smaller lakes is minnows and perch as opposed to a shiner or a smelt bait. So you're going to look more toward long skinny baits like a stick bait, a regular Rapala, a Smithwick Rogue, but a bait that can gets a nice wobble when you're trolling real slow. And then as the water warms, you're going to add more shad style baits and more speed into your presentation. So that's where I'm looking at pre-spawn on these smaller lakes right at ice out and what I'm looking for in those kind of places. A lot of them have good panfish and perch and crappie too. If I'm trolling along and I come across all of a sudden a couple nice crappie hit my walleye presentation, well, I'm going to stop and catch a bunch of those and have some fun.
This episode of the JMO Podcast is brought to you by the CS1 suit from Cold Snap. This jacket and bib combination is good for all seasons. The jacket featuring the full event lamination, 100% waterproof shell with waterproof YKK zippers, fleece-lined hand-worn pockets on the chest, magnetic closures on the pockets, hideaway D-rings for accessories, especially like your Cold Snap toothpick. Zip out the inner liner featuring PrimaLoft 900 gold insulation, HydroFloat technology. Wear this Cold Snap logoed performance liner as a separate jacket on the ice, or you can just wear it around town as nice as it is. The bibs matching the jacket system. We're talking the lamination, the waterproof, the zippers, fleece lined, warming pockets on the chest, magnetic closures on all the high use pockets, and the hideaway D-rings for all your accessories. Again, zip out the inner liner pants featuring the PrimaLoft 900 Gold Insulation HydroFloat technology, removable knee pads. You can take them out, replace them whenever they're worn, or just take them out when you're wearing it in the summer, because in the summer in the boat, you can wear this shell as your highest performance rain gear. Wear the entire system in the ice season or as layers and mix and match the components to fit whatever the weather conditions are. The gloves, cold snap performance gear, hoodies, event softshell jackets, and vests, all of that and more details can be found at coldsnapoutdoors.com. That link is in the description of this podcast or through other pro staff partners. This podcast is brought to you by Northland Fishing Tackle. Northland is a brand you can trust. Since the beginning, they've been creating innovative lure designs made of high-quality components. Most importantly, when you buy fishing tackle that says Northland on the package, you can rest assured it is designed for one thing and one thing only, and that is catching fish. To check out more of what they got, head to their website, northlandtackle.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. This episode of the Jable Podcast is brought to you by Scheels. Scheels is a one-stop shop retailer with all your outdoor needs covered. Scheels has all the top brands on inventory in every department and a knowledgeable staff known for great service. With over 30 locations across the country, you can find the nearest store by going online to Scheels.com. If you can't get to a store, rest assured all their best deals are online as well. So once again, head to Scheels.com for more detailed information. That link is in the description of this podcast. Presentation-wise, spring kind of has its own flavor typically. Cold water, you know, talking about cold front days and what that maybe does to it. Is there anything like, You know, setup wise, you know, do you lighten up your tackle a little bit to be more finessey?
Well, as far as lightening up my tackle goes, I already generally fish fairly light gear when I'm casting. With the advent 25 years ago now of braided line taking over, all of that has led to lighter, more sensitive rods to use. Okay. So we can use, I'm now using generally a medium to medium light spinning rod when I'm casting for walleye, where when I first started on guiding on Lake of the Woods in the 1980s, I was using medium heavy all the time because you had so much stretch in the mono that you needed it for a hook set. So the rods have already gotten lighter and more sensitive. So I don't change that too much. One little trick that I do, especially here on the Iowa Great Lakes, once walleye season opens the first week of May, and I'm looking for both for walleye, but also hoping for crappie. If I'm trolling a spinner with a crawler or a minnow on it for walleye, I might also have a couple little beetle spins out at the same time, looking more specifically for crappie. So they both presentations fish at the same speed, so I can look for both at the same time, and they're both using the same type of habitat, which is fresh weeds generally. So you can kind of double up that way. I control a beetle spin on these smaller lakes the same speed that I'm pulling a stick bait, 1.1, 1.2 mile an hour, and they both have good action, and I get a nice variety. So those are little tricks you can do. You can combine baits, and I learned that trick out on Lake Erie in tournaments. I would troll a stick bait and a walleye spinner at the same time, looking for walleye out there, and I do more circles turns, and then I control the spinner a little bit slower, and because it's on the inside of my circle, and my crankbait on the outside turn was going just a little bit faster, so I could combine the two of them and see which one the fish wanted that day. So there's little things like that that you can do to fish multiple presentations. Another one of my favorite ways to search is trolling spinners. While I'm trolling spinners, especially for walleye, I am snap jigging a quarter ounce jig and a Berkeley Power minnow behind the boat, straight behind. So I'd make a nice long cast out, drop a little extra line, make sure that jig is almost hitting the bottom. It doesn't need to hit the bottom in this case, just almost. And you snap it up and you let it fall, and you snap it up and you let it fall, and you snap it up and the rod doubles over. So I like to get, till I figure out what they want that day, I'm going to try to give multiple presentations to the fish. Let the fish tell me what they want that day. The fish will tell you what they want if you're willing to listen. But most people want to tell the fish what they want,
yeah,
instead of letting the fish tell them what they want. So you have to be willing to listen, and you'll get a lot better results at the end of the day if you're not stubborn.
You know, how often do you feel like by the end of the day you've got it narrowed down to like one or two things, versus how often do you feel like you kind of continue with that variety pack program all day, and then and you just kind of each one, you know, kind of picks off its own fish, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Hopefully you get it dialed in. Hopefully I can get it dialed in within an hour or two, but through, if you're talking a full day of fishing, like say 8 hours, it's often rare for the same pattern to hold up for even 8 hours. You may need to jig shallow in the low light first thing in the morning when you get out, and by afternoon you're out trolling the basin of a lake. As I like to tell my friend Shaw, and he got tired of this statement when we first became good friends, and then he started guiding for me a little bit. I said, those fish have tails and they use them. Okay. They move. And now if the bait stays where they're at, then they're not going to move. But if, especially in the spring, we have shiners here on our lakes. They spawn at night. Okay. So we have a big night bite on these shiner lakes in the springtime. In the daytime, those shiners move out. They don't stay up there shallow all the time. They'll move back out and then they'll come up and spawn. Smelt, I believe, do the same thing up on the North Dakota reservoirs. I believe they, and alewives, they all spawn at night, I believe. So what happens early may not happen at noon. And if you don't make that adjustment and you stay up there in 2 or 3 feet of water instead of moving out, you're not going to catch fish all day. So it's nice to get it dialed in, but if you watch a tournament on TV, although this has changed a little bit and this is a whole nother subject, but generally if you watch a tournament on TV, 10 leaders, 4 or 5 different presentations.
Yes.
Now with the new forward facing sonar, that is changing a little bit, but that's a whole nother subject that we don't really need to get into right now. We can save that for another time.
Oh, for sure. But you know what I'll say to that? You know, I love watching tournaments, bass tournaments, walleye tournaments. Like what I'll say to that, I feel like it's, you know, it's a materializing thing. So I think the presentations are sort of coming closer and closer together because of that forward sonar. It seems like people are probably doing the same things, but it hasn't eliminated the fact that, you know, if you look at the top 10, it's not uncommon for 5 or 6 different types of locations or fish patterns. You know, guys are still, it's still a variety pack. It's still, you know, but just because of forward sonar and how you work baits, you know, you'll see kind of this, you know, the same baits starting to kind of reoccur because of that forward sonar. It's just kind of easier to use them. But ultimately, I still feel like it's fun to watch new areas or the new types of fish patterns that people are finding with that. And so I feel like it's still kind of the same thing. It's still a cool deal where people are still spread out doing different things. The fish are still, you know, still, you know, kind of throw you all those different curveballs, you know, even if it's a little bit more vanilla, because everybody's standing up front staring down at their graph, you know, and everybody's got the same type of lure on or whatever. But yeah, I feel like it does that forward sonar, that turn, it's not like it's pushed people and boats together next to each other to fish the same fish. There's still, it's really cool, you know, just to see all the different fish patterns that are there. Anyways, that's just my little two cents. Of course, we could go down that rabbit hole, but
yeah, we'll save that for another show, because that's a whole nother thing. So the spring fishing is so exciting to me, because it's new, it's vital. I haven't been on the water for quite some time, so I didn't catch a fish yesterday. I only fished in like an hour and 15 minutes, and I only had about a quarter of the lake. I could get basically to two spots that I like to fish, and the smallmouth weren't on either of those two spots, which is my fish in the springtime. Ice out fishing is big smallmouth. It is the best time to ever have a chance at catching a 5-pounder and bigger and multiple ones in a day right here. And I love them, but the springtime's exciting and new because you're ready for, you get your boat out. You've been sitting in it in your garage or your shed or wherever, and you've been tinkering with tackle, and you've been making sure that all your number five shad wraps are now in the same box, where at the end of the fall, there was two of them in your jerkbait box and two of them laying on your dash, and you've, the anticipation is over and you actually get to go fishing, and it's a great time. And the fish have also been possibly the least pressured that they're ever going to be, because you've had that 2 to 3 weeks between ice fishing and ice out where not many people can go at them. So they haven't had any pressure. So you can, if you're the first one out there, and get on them, they haven't seen a lure, they haven't, none of them have been caught, they have little bitty brains, so they don't have long memories, so they're like, yeah, that looks edible, let's go. And so I love the spring fishing, and then get out there after it and being the first one out there on the water. And as far as presentations goes, one thing that I've learned over the years, have you ever heard this? Fish small baits in the spring.
You know, I feel like as it relates to what I would say to that, I don't know, fishing small baits in the spring might not necessarily be, I feel like out here spring when it's cold water, it's like subtle and slow. Subtle and slow. It can be like sort of the story. And I think it gets interpreted as going smaller a lot.
That's a very good explanation. If you think about it, the bait fish are as big as they're ever going to be in the springtime. There isn't new bait fish out there.
Right.
They're last year's hatch, so they're as big as they're going to be. I throw a lot of 5-inch jerk baits in the spring for smallmouth bass. I catch a lot of walleyes while I'm doing it. Season's not open yet. So that's a big bait fish. There's a lot of walleye anglers that would have trouble putting a 5-inch, 6-inch minnow on their jig. They just think it's too big. Now, take tournament anglers. They don't think that way.
Right.
But so I'm using 4-inch plastics on my jigs, gulp minnows, power minnows. I'm fishing 5-inch jerk baits. The only little baits, the two little baits that I count on are hair jigs and Ned rigs. And that goes for walleye also. If you're fishing walleye and you're overlooking the Ned rig, you are missing out on a lot of fish. It is a phenomenal walleye bait, but you have to know where the walleye are before you can start fishing, because it's such a slow presentation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not very efficient that way. It's not a search bit, right?
It's not a search lure. But if you've got them pinned, if you've got them pinned down, you drag that Ned rig through there, and I almost guarantee you're going to catch fish that you wouldn't have caught on any other presentation. It's a great lure and a great bait. I fish them in cold water until probably 55, 60 degrees. And then I'm mostly fishing jigs that I can fish faster than a Ned rig and work quicker and look for more bites. But, that's a spring bait that if you're not using it, you're missing a lot of fish.
Man, I feel like you are really speaking to me in this, Doug. Honestly, I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, because, and I think this is relatable too, where, you know, people are a little bit rusty. As much as we don't want to admit it, we go into spring with all this, you know, optimism. Like you said, I'm just like what you described. I'm in the garage, in my tackle boxes right now. Like, I'm rigging rods. I probably won't be on the water for a month, but I'm in it. Like, I feel like my mindset is in it. But the reality is, like, I get so excited about fishing somewhere, some spot. Like, you know, a lot of people, I've seen it in myself. I get so excited about spring pitching jigs and minnows that I go out. I can't tell you how many days I've gone out and just pitched a jig and a minnow all day. Or just I did one thing all day because that was my spring confidence presentation. I fished the same type of spots all day long. I didn't check much deeper. I didn't check much shallower. I stayed in this narrow zone. And I love how you're talking. You're helping me break out of that before I even go out the first time and make that mistake. Is you know talking about the Ned rig, where that's a slower, you know, that's not a search bait. You know you're still going out in the spring with search baits. You're throwing the jerk baits. You're talking about trolling in a basin on the same day that you're pitching a minnow in shallow. That's really unheard of, right? Like people just get so zoned in on spring being kind of a one thing deal, and you just go out there and it takes you, you know, your first five trips out to really knock the rust off and get into your open water swing, where we're making better decisions and we are moving and grooving a little bit. But I'm really, really, really enjoying this conversation, because you're already helping me sort of shake loose what was probably gonna be, you know, some old bad habits my first two or three times out. And so I really just want to appreciate what you're saying there, just having that variety pack in mind. And that's, you know, that's something that I talk about more so probably in the summer, you know, where fish are spread out and, you know, big bodies of water are really diverse. So you got to check shallow, you got to check weeds, you got to check wood, you got to check deep points, you got to check offshore. Like, you know, that's like summer conversation. Springtime, we're usually just talking current, you know, jigging a minnow. And people will go out all day long and do that. And, you know, sadly, I'll probably make that mistake again, you know, this year, but I'm really, really, really enjoying, I'm really taking a lot away from that. And it's just hyping me up, Doug. I think this is just really, really great. You know, in time, we're covering so much stuff here. We don't have to dive into anything else big, but, what are some other, just some, if anything comes to mind, you know, like maybe a 2-minute closer here, you know, anything else spring related with your strategy or approach, or just the fun opportunities, you know, we're just highlighting these fun opportunities that, a spring like this can be good for, that other springs aren't, you know, with these smaller bodies of water and that, like anything else along the lines of this conversation that you want to add in?
Well, the one thing I'm sitting here thinking about as you were saying that was one of the best pieces of advice I ever got. And we all get stuck in our little ruts. We have our confidence lures. One of the best pieces of advice I got out early: you want to learn a new technique you've read about, you've heard about, try it when the fish are biting, not when they're not biting. All right. So you've caught five fish on a jig and a minnow. Throw the Ned rig then to get confidence in it. All right.
Yeah.
You've caught five fish on a Ned rig. Throw a jerk bait now to get confidence in it, because you know the fish are there, you know they're hungry. So try your new presentations when you're already catching fish, not when you're struggling to catch fish. Otherwise, you're never going to gain confidence in those new presentations. Spring's all about new. Everything's new, renewed. Get out there. Write down 3 new presentations that you want to try this year, whether it's a drop shot, whether it's a Ned rig, whether it's a blade bait. The blade bait, one of my great cold water lures for both walleye and smallmouth. Throw them 50, 60% of the time. Most people don't have one in their tackle box.
You're speaking straight to me, Doug, because I just bought my first like rack of blade baits this year.
Learn how to use them.
You are speaking straight into my ears, man. Oh man.
Make this spring about learning new things, trying new things, growing your fishing. And I know a lot of people can't afford to have all the rods, 60 rods that I have. But if you have multiple rods with multiple baits tied on, you're going to use them more than if you have to stop and cut your jig off and retie another bait on there. You're not doing that when you're already catching fish on the jig. But if that other rod is sitting there with another bait on it, you'll pick it up and throw it 15 times and try it. So save a little money, pick up an extra rod here and there, look for sales, you know, buy your open water rods in the fall when they're on sale, buy your ice fishing rods now when they're on sale. Save yourself a little money, grow your arsenal.
Dang, dude. Doug, this is it. You knocked it completely out of the park. You know, time is perfect. I don't want to get into anything else because if there is more things to talk about, we will do this again. And so we'll sign it off with maybe you just promoting yourself. If people have questions or inquiries or anything along the lines of what you said, you know, let everybody know where they can find you.
The easiest places to find me, Facebook and Instagram, the Iowa Guide Service. Very simple. You Google Doug Burns fishing, you'll find me. I've been at this 40 years now, since 1986. So I'm not that hard to find. You'll find articles in Fisherman Magazine that I've written, Walleye Insider, even one book out there called 12 Days in Walleye Heaven. So Google Doug Burns fishing, or just go to Facebook or Instagram and look for the Iowa Guide Service, and you'll find me, and I'd appreciate a follow.